This is Blurring the Lines with Adam Bell and Peter Nicolaitis, IT entrepreneurs. Adam and Peter take on the topics of technology, business, life, and the pursuit of happiness and blur them together in the 21st century.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, and welcome to the Blurring the Lines podcast. This is episode number 234. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Peter Nicolaitis. How are you doing, Peter?
Hey.
Is it weird that we quantify every time we talk together? I get on the phone. Hey, Peter, this is phone call 425. It's great to talk to you.
Well, you never know. We might need to, you know, for historical reasons, like if we ever get accused of, you know, having our own private island and a pedophile sex ring or something, it might be nice to dispute those, you know, because on phone calls 200 through 376, Adam and I did not discuss human trafficking.
We did not.
No, we did not. And we have the record to prove it, right?
And we are against human trafficking. Just for the record.
Right. As we have evidence of 234 some odd calls where we have recorded us not talking about that. See how easy this is? Oh, man. So how are things in your neck of the woods?
Pretty good. You know, I was under the weather a bit after getting back from Mexico. So I'm finally coming around, feeling a lot better. You know, took steroids, took antibiotics, and they made everything taste terrible. And that's disappointing. You know, it's one thing to not have an appetite. It's another thing that you're eating something really tasty and it tastes like it's covered in salt water. Like briny salt water from Florida.
Gross.
Yeah.
Like gross. Nasty, gross, yuck. Sorry to hear about that, but I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah. I actually sound like my voice is there today. That's good.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. That's progress.
Yeah. How about yourself?
No antibiotics. Feeling pretty good. Yeah. I recently switched to creatine gummies rather than the powder. I wasn't really sure whether it was the creatine or the collagen peptides that I've been eating, but I would essentially either put them all into a drink or into a smoothie or something. Mm-hmm. And I just was feeling a little bit queasy afterwards.
Yeah. I always felt queasy every time I took creatine. I mean, yeah. My whole life, really.
So I was like, I wasn't really sure if it was because I was taking so much, because I was generally dosing like 10 milligrams per, mm-hmm. Or 10 grams per, I should say, 10, you know, per dose, and more on days when I'm doing long runs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I've switched over to gummies, and it's funny because each gummy, you know, they're a decent sized, and each one is only 1 milligram. So you got to eat 5 gummies to get one serving. but I can down them a lot easier, you know, so cons, there's a little extra sugar in my diet. Pros, I'm getting creatine, so I'm taking that trade-off for now.
Yeah.
But
when I don't know if I told you, you know, talking about sugar, you know, I've been keeping track of diet, and I just assumed honey is sugar. I assumed a teaspoon of honey was a lot more sugar than it is. And it's only like 21, 22, you know, carbs in it. And I'm like, man, I should have had more honey all along, because it doesn't take much honey to make something sweeter when I compare it to like sugar. Like it'll make something that's completely bland taste really good for 20 calories. I'm like, oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, honey's good. Honey's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Honey's also the nickname of, I think her name is Honey Child, of the damsel in distress in the James Bond novel Dr. No.
Yeah,
which I'm about two thirds of the way through, you know. So
still in the James Bond.
I've got Goldfinger is reserved. I'll take that next. But yeah, in typical James Bond fashion, he's, you know, out on a deserted semi-deserted island in Jamaica trying to track down Dr. No, and he comes across this beautiful, naked, blonde woman native to Jamaica who's out
skin
there
diving.
Hunting. Yeah, yeah. Such a life.
She's not naked in the film with Sean Connery.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I guess they didn't get that detail right. So, fitness updates. I think we've got some both on both sides here.
Yeah, I ran this week.
From who?
It wasn't even from somebody. As part of our CrossFit workout this week, we did, well, and I only ran 400 meters at a time. So it was an interval workout. It had 5 of 400. And I was really expecting it to hurt, you know, because of my knee. And the first one, it didn't hurt. But what it was is like, I couldn't lift my leg up. It was like it was asleep. Like my knee did not want to bend. It was like, I will run, but I'm not liking it. But really by like the third round, I was running like normal, and I was actually surprised and pleased.
Okay. Well, good. This should not come to surprise to anybody, but I ran this week also.
Yes.
But what is new is I signed up for a new running coach.
Okay.
So as we've discussed, you know, my good friend and former roommate, you know, was my informal running coach, but I decided I needed, you know, someone a little more available and, you know, a little more formal plan. So I attended a webinar, I guess, 2 weekends ago, and it was very typical, you know, like, here's a little bit about the coach, about the founder. Here's what he found. Here's some research. Here's his success stories, how he helped, you know, this guy who was 70 years old go from a hour 20 10K to a 50 minute 10K, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. And if you sign up within the next 48 hours, our normal program, normally $597 a year, is only $297 a year. And we'll throw in a free consultation call, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, okay, marketing, marketing, marketing. But, you know, sure, I'll take a 50% discount, right? So I signed up. So far, so good.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. They do a tailored running plan, and they've got a very nice, refined online portal. So when I log into my dashboard, actually, can I share my screen? Can I just show people in our thingamabobber? Let me just do that.
If I haven't shared the YouTube, then you'll see it.
Yeah, exactly. Share a window. Membership home. Look at that. Okay. So you can see on my screen. Yes, you are presenting. Show my screen anyway. Don't share your entire screen or a browser window. Share just a tab. Okay. Well, let's do that. I'll stop presenting. Share a Chrome tab. Oh, I didn't realize that's pretty cool. So within Chrome, you can share just a tab. That is actually pretty slick. I will share just a tab. How you like that?
Ta-da.
Yeah, you don't know that I'm on a Mac anymore. So you go here and you got this whole big dashboard. And it includes, like, here's today. Today is Friday. It's a rest day in my schedule. So I can see what my schedule is supposed to be like. I can go to my entire schedule. And it is a little pokey at times, but not terrible. And you can see this was my schedule for the week. Now, whatever shows up here in this color, is this red? Is this orange?
Orange. Burnt.
Orange, yeah. Yep. Burnt orange, yeah. So whatever shows up in burnt orange is like to happen. And then whatever's green is imported from Strava for stuff that I actually did.
That's cool.
So if we go ahead and look to next week, you can see like the next month or so if I scroll here, right? But if you want to expand on a specific one, you can drill into this specific exercise. And what's cool is these numbers that they give here are based on my latest time trial. So last Sunday, I ran and calculated my threshold pace, which is the heart rate that you should be able to run at for an hour. And from there, you determine like, okay, that was the heart rate you ran. And from there, you can determine the pace, you know? So basically I hit my threshold heart rate, which was exactly as I predicted it was going to be, 155 beats per minute, based on races that I've run, based on all of the normal 180 minus, you know, plus or minus your age, plus this, based on numbers from my Apple Watch, everything came out to around 155, no matter what I calculated. And sure enough, that's that. So I ran, I did a 10K and I ran for almost exactly 1 hour and my average heart rate was 55 beats per minute. So I got that time that it took me to run that. And I then punch in my threshold pace, 9 minutes and change per mile. And then it changed the whole generic plan that they have, which says like, okay, you know, you'll do intervals on this day, hills on this day, long run this day, slow run, recovery run this day. From there, it gives me specific paces. So it says you will do intervals at this pace for 30 seconds, this pace for a minute, this pace 30 seconds, this pace for a minute, this pace for 90 seconds, this pace for 2 minutes, etc. Which is pretty slick. And then you can expand an entire week if you want, if I click on the right thing, not the screen share. But now it gives you all the details, telling you everything about what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And I also took their strength workouts and gave them to my strength training coach that I've been seeing for about a year now. Mm-hmm. And so he can incorporate some of these into my existing home strength training routine. So everything's going really well so far. The only downside on it is that you can download these tools. You can download your workouts, right? But check it out. What are the options? Zwift, ERG, MRC, or Fit File? What do you think is not represented by these lists, this list of file formats?
Apple Watch?
Apple Watch! No way to download directly to an Apple Watch. Now, the good news is it's pretty easy so far to create workouts, you know, mm-hmm. on the watch itself. It's not a great experience, you know, making custom workouts like this, and it does take a few minutes. But on my first live coaching call, I talked with you know, my coach, and he asked, like, well, you know, what's your plan? You know, after, what are you going to do after the 50? And I was like, 100K, maybe 100 miler at some point. He says, yeah, I kind of figure that. If you're going to do more than a 50, you're going to need a new watch. And I was like, I've been waiting for that, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, to make the Apple Watch last an all-day race, you got to turn off all the features.
Right.
Right. And by the time I do that, I'm essentially using my phone and an external heart rate monitor. Why do I even have the Ultra?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as we've discussed here on the podcast before, I often have my phone almost all the time with me anyway, because of the satellite phone capability or satellite messages, SMS capability.
Right.
When I'm running around in the hills of Vermont, this thing has no cell signal. My phone has no cell signal, and it's okay because I can still send text messages and, you know, call mm-hmm. phone for help that way. So the usefulness of my Apple Watch has gone way down. Now, mm-hmm. am I going to keep it? Almost certainly. Did I order a different one? Yes, I did. So I ordered the Garmin Forerunner 955 Solar.
Mm-hmm.
As the name implies, it has a solar panel on it, so it will charge in daylight hours, which is pretty slick. So mm-hmm. About now, it's waiting for me at my friend's. I had it shipped to my place in Vermont, and my friend picked it up for me. So it's waiting in Vermont for me to go pick it up next week. So I won't have a update on Garmin soon, but or not yet, not today, but yeah. Possibly maybe by next episode or we'll have a Garmin update.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I forget, cool. You've used, what did you use, Fitbit or did you use, what did you use before the Apple?
I used Fitbit for years.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So we'll have another data point for another fitness ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's a little bit of the training, you know, Coach Perry. So far, pretty good. They also, they have weekly live events. They do live strength training classes also. So, mm-hmm. you know, in theory, I could draw up my personal trainer and just do theirs, but I really like them, so I'll keep that.
Yeah.
They do weekly group Q&As. So, you know, if I have a question, and last time I was there were like a dozen people, but only like five or six people asked questions. So, you know, plenty of time to get your answer, your questions answered by a coach. Right. They treat their forums as if it's like a tech support forum. And they, you know, the coach I talked to said, essentially, it's like, we treat every question as if it's the first time anyone's ever asked it. Mm-hmm. So they may direct you to a video saying, hey, this video will explain how to do such and such, but it's never like, you know, read the FAQ or anything. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to, you know, feel guilty about asking, you know, your questions. And I've done that before. I was like, how do I do this? How do I do this? And they've responded within a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. So, yeah, so far I'm very happy with it. And the other last cool thing I'll show you is if you look at the schedule, it will, their website will sync with Garmin and it will sync with Strava.
Okay.
So I don't pay for Strava, right? But I get all of the cool Strava pieces. Wait, I guess I'm clicking the wrong thing. Here we go. Sorry. Wrong. Oh, it's not.
And you're on the sharing one tab.
Ah, it moved to a different tab.
Yeah.
Share this tab instead. Look at that. So if I go to the structured workout, why am I not seeing it? Not seeing what I'm trying to show you. Usually what I see here is all of the Strava stuff. Why am I not seeing it? Select. View. Okay. Well, I don't know what's going on. Well, analyze. That's it. Got to click the right tab. So this is all data that you normally see in the Strava app.
Mm-hmm.
But sometime within the last year or so, after Strava started making this huge push to get everybody to subscribe and pay for it, they cut off your history, what they'll show you, to like within the last week.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go back. So you can't do this historical analysis and look at a run that goes, you know, that's older than a certain age. But here I can, because they accumulate all the same data and it's all right there for the take.
Nice.
For the taking. So that's another like $80 or so a year that I just, you know, effectively get, excuse me, as part of this subscription. So cool. Yeah, there you go. So that's coachparry.com. And so far I've been a, you know, pretty happy, satisfied customer for about 2 weeks now. And yeah, that's that.
Very cool. Well, this week I did CrossFit for 5 days, which has been a long time since I've done CrossFit 5 days for the whole week.
And I'm definitely, about time.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling it. I have... I'm paying for the last year of not really working out well.
Well, it's about time. Get back into it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna try to at least look good for 60.
Excellent. You got plenty of time. So. let's see. That's another thing. Yeah. So I have not signed up for this yet, but I may. There's this YouTube influencer that has been all over my feed recently, and she's big on movement, you know, body movement and flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And she always starts off, like, her big draw is doing like primal squats, you know, like just a low squat and holding that for a long time. And so at some point that was in my algorithm for YouTube. And so I've seen her face a bunch of times. I finally clicked on one of the videos and I was like, you know, actually this sort of movement and mobility and stuff looks kind of cool. And it's a combination of strength and flexibility that I haven't gotten from yoga because I haven't been doing that sort of yoga.
Right.
And I've definitely lost some of the mobility and flexibility because of all the running I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And while I do some of this with my trainer, it's usually a very small part of the overall routine. So this morning I clicked on her video and I did her, like, this is what I do every morning for, you know, a 10 minute warm up. I had to take a break after 5 minutes. And that was 5 minutes with the intro. So her 10-minute warm-up video was actually 14 minutes long. So I had to take a break after like maybe 3 minutes. And then I went back into it. I did all the moves, all the exercises, not very well. But one of the things that really got my attention is, you know, they say a good test of your mobility and strength is, can you get up off the floor without using your hands?
Yeah.
I can, but I do have to, like, you know, I have to like lurch myself forward to make that happen.
Yeah.
Whereas a couple years ago, I was able to sit cross-legged. I could lower myself if I cross one foot and one shin in front of the other. I could then lower myself down into a seated position.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I could reverse that and step up out of that.
Yeah.
I can't do that now. And I'm not sure if it's just because I'm too tight. I don't think it's because I've gotten weaker, because if anything, my legs should be stronger now with strength training and, you know, all the running I'm doing. So I've definitely lost that mobility, but that's a good test. Dear listener, can you do that? Can you sit cross-legged and then without using your hands, stand up just like that? Like I said, I used to be able to do it. I can't do it now. And that was a bit of a wake-up call for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing low squats every day. I re-hung up my chin-up bar in my bedroom door. And I hang usually like first thing when I get out of, as I brush my teeth, and then I come back into the bedroom, hang for a bit, for as long as I can. So I'm just trying to get back into some basic stuff to preserve and, you know, enhance, but I'm looking forward to getting back to being able to easily get up without using my hands again off the floor.
Yeah. So, I have a feeling that would be tough on my knee to try to get up, but we'll see. I gave it a go.
Yep.
You know, one thing struggling with, I don't know if that's the right word. You know, I hurt my knee, but there's a certain amount of physical therapy that you do that hurts.
Yes.
And what I don't always know is I don't know the difference in physical therapy, good hurt versus bad hurt. So it's like, you should do this anyway. Yes, it does hurt, but it's actually better for you, versus no, you shouldn't do that because that hurts and it's hurting your body.
Yeah, that's where having a good person, you know, physical therapist, can be helpful.
Yeah, because I'm regretting that decision. I don't know that it was a decision. I guess it was a decision by indecision. When I hurt my knee in April, I should have, I know it. I didn't want to go to physical therapy because I didn't want to pay for it. And I thought it would eventually work itself out. But I should have gone to physical therapy at that point, at least like one or two sessions to give me the exercises that I need to do to work them out to get my knee to recover. Because now we're sitting at the beginning of August and I'm just now running again.
Yep.
And the result is when I run, I'm like, oh, it actually feels better. It's not hurting and I should be avoiding it. It's hurting and I should be working it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that's like, if you have a good sense of, you know, like what is true, if it's truly pain, you probably shouldn't be doing it. If it's borderline extreme discomfort, that's probably what you should be working through. And that's the difference. Like when I do these low squats, for instance, you know, when I first go down into them, my knees complain very vocally.
Yeah.
And then my hips start to get in on the dialogue. But I did it this morning. So I did this routine for around 10 minutes or so. I, you know, coming out of it, standing up afterwards was hard. But after that, I felt like I went downstairs and then I went down into the basement, came back upstairs, down, floated. I felt like I was floating up and down the stairs. My hips and my legs felt, and my knees felt so good. And normally every morning, usually there's a little discomfort going down the stairs the first few days, you know, especially on days after a long run. Didn't feel anything like that today after doing this mobility workout. So I am hooked on motion.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I do squats as part of my, and what you're talking about, the low squat where you get down there, you get your elbows between your knees and just kind of rest your hands and try to be in a resting position while you're there.
Yep.
And I get down there and I'm like, I get into that anxious. I'm like, I gotta get up. And I'm like, no, just stay here 10 more seconds, just 10 more sec, you know, and I'll count to 10 and then I'll like, come on, you got 10 more seconds. Just do 10 more.
Yeah. Oh, I've been setting timers, and a few days ago, I meditated for 3 minutes in that position. So it's hard for me though. Like my strength trainer told me not to worry about it, but I need to either extend my arms way out in front of me or hold on to a weight or hold on to a pole or something, mm-hmm. or I need to prop up a little bit under my heels. Because okay. I don't yet have the ankle mobility to let me just sit vertically, right? Mm-hmm. So by nature, the way I'm built right now, I will fall over backwards if I don't actively work to hold myself up.
Okay.
So I hope that I can free up my ankles enough and move things around so that I can sit flat-footed in a low squat and just, you know, have that really be a resting position. Because right now it is a very active rest position.
We need to mark it down in history that there is one mobility thing that I can do better than you. Is, and it may not last, but it is, at least for a moment.
Hey, we've all got our strengths. Man. So how's that mushroom coffee supply of yours going?
Oh, you know, should throw that stuff away. I'm done with that. I told you as a side, you know, I had adverse effects with the mushroom coffee as far as it affecting my platelets.
Mm-hmm.
And while the mushroom coffee alone does not, you know, doesn't throw your body out of balance, if you have a condition that is already kind of wonky, you know, mm-hmm. the platelet inhibitors that are found in some mushrooms, not all mushroom coffee is the same. So, but what I was taking definitely was causing me problems, and, you know, and I won't be going back to it. It really mm-hmm. didn't taste all that good anyway. So yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, that one seems like an easy one to pass over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause it had caffeine in it. I didn't get any benefits from it. Like, I know they're like, oh, drink it, you'll have weight loss. Well, I got weight loss anyway because I stopped eating dessert and drinking alcohol during the week.
Yeah, you got to factor in all those factors, right? I mean, just account for all those factors to say it less redundantly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that.
And then I've been, I've been really fastidious tracking my input, and I was like, if I eat it, I have to put it in, and I'm like, I don't want to put it in, I guess I just won't eat it.
Yeah. okay, that's pretty cool. That sounds like something I used to would have said, but nowadays I'm just like, I'm just gonna eat it. Yeah, like I haven't logged my creatine gummies every day.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like, 25 calories and stuff. But I'm like, you know, that's probably within the margin of error. So
mm-hmm.
not really going to worry about that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But Jeff, I personally have to be careful because I'll add up like, I ate three crackers. That's not worth logging. Well, how many times did I eat three crackers today?
You know? They're so small they hardly count. I'll just have one or 12.
Yeah, one or 12. It's fine.
Oh, man.
I'm cleaning up some bills right now. I'm on the subscription kick right now. Get rid of every subscription that I'm not actively using much.
Okay.
And I'm killing the cell phone service from my Apple Watch.
I've been thinking about doing that myself, and I just have for previously stated reasons.
Yeah. Well, I've got a I don't know what you want to call it, a Boy Scout bug or what, you know, I have my cell phone and I have my iPad, and my iPad has cell phone coverage. And I do that intentionally because if something happens and my cell phone just breaks or just stops working or anything happens and my cell phone stops, I cannot make a phone call. Well, if I have an iPad that has cell phone coverage, I can make a VoIP call on that. I mean, so I've just got this thing. I don't want to not have just one way to communicate. Right. Now, the cell phone in my watch has been, I don't know, I barely use it. I mean, I thought I would use it more. I barely use it. Cell phone coverage is crappy where I am in Tennessee anyway.
It's also crappy from the watch because it's got such a tiny little antenna. The reception is not as good as just the regular phone.
Yeah. And, you know, the big thing that I really wanted it for is being able to listen to audiobooks and it being able to automatically download, even if I don't have my phone. Well, because the cell coverage is so lousy, it's hit or miss. I have to do all the prep work to make sure I've got the book downloaded already. If I've already got it downloaded already, I don't need the cell phone coverage.
Yep. I mean, that's the thing. You know, that's exactly the thing. And so, yeah, I'm at that point. I should just bite the bullet. And I was going to wait until I go to Germany, and I was just going to pause it then because I'm not going to use it. You know, because I need to get the travel plan or whatever they call it for my phone when I'm over there. And I always turn off cellular on the watch anyway. So I was going to wait until then. It is very rare. There have been occasions like I forgot the phone one day, and I was, you know, drove out and left the house, and I didn't feel like going back inside. I was like, if there's an emergency, I could make a call. It was nice for that purpose. Or being able to use the Find My app if you lose the phone. Somewhere away from home where you're not on Wi-Fi. So there's definitely use cases. Is it worth it? I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, well, and the argument I go back and forth on is like, well, it's only $15 a month. Yeah, but it's $15 a month every month, and I'm getting very little return on it.
That's just that. Yeah. Are you getting, you know, you can look at it as an insurance policy, right? Where, you know, yes, I'm paying for this so that I have it as a backup, but you already have your backup.
Yeah.
You know, and again, for me, the reason I loved it was like, oh, I can leave the phone at home and I can go running. Yeah, that's great. And then they came out with satellite SMS. I'm like, I'd rather have that.
So,
that makes sense. That makes sense.
I was really toying with getting rid of the iPad, but I couldn't get over the Twitch. Like I've got to have the backup because, but I mean, I'm a traveler. I mean, you're a traveler too. And it's very easy for something to happen to your cell phone. And you have,
I have my second cell phone.
Yeah. Now my other choice would be, you know, I did consider this. Instead of the iPad, maybe I get a MiFi, you know, that I have portable, but then I have to have another device for the MiFi to power. I'm like, well, I might as well have it all tied into the iPad.
Interesting. All right.
So,
there you go. I think now that we've talked about it enough, I should probably just go bite the bullet and at least, you know, it's easy to add it back in if I change my mind. I'll probably go ahead and do that too. Need for it. So speaking of subscriptions, and Scott and I did actually discuss this on an episode of Friends with Brews that we recorded today. Apple has a new offering, Apple Care One.
Okay, tell me more.
For $20 a month, you can get Apple Care for up to, I believe, 5 of your devices. And then you can add more for, like, I think $5.99 a month or something like that. So I'm paying $20 a month just for my 2 phones. And I'm also paying for my iPad on a monthly basis. And on top of that, I have annual or biannual deals for my AirPods, my HomePods, my Apple Watch, and my MacBook. So I haven't done the math to see if it makes sense to cancel any of those annual ones and convert them over to Apple Care One. But I can at least do my 2 phones and my iPad and save, I think, like $10 a month or something like that by combining it. So, and then if I can, like if I can add in two more devices, like my MacBook and my AirPods, and that's all included, then I guess that's a no-brainer. Yeah, because zero is less than whatever I've already paid. So yeah, I guess I would save money on that. So actually, I meant to call, but I guess I'll do that after this episode. I'm going to call Apple support just to make sure I do this correctly. Because in classic Apple fashion, you know, it's like, yeah, you can just buy it, buy this thing. And then you have to go through the process to cancel the ones that you don't want.
Yes.
And to cancel termed, not monthly stuff, you have to generally call Apple to make that happen. So I figured I'll just beat them to the punch and call them and have them walk me through the process as I do it to make sure I don't screw it up.
Yeah, I did that. Or so I got a new pair of iPads or earbuds. Elizabeth wanted a set, and so I went and bought a new set. And since I use mine all the time, so I bought a brand new set, and then I gave her my used set because she only wanted it for airplane use. You know, when she's I was like, okay. I got a year of service with it. It let me sign up for another year of service on the brand new AirPods that I should have. I got it free with it. I mean, included, but they let me sign up for another one. It was like $27. I'm like, I need to cancel it, but my time is worth $27. I'm not going to sit on the phone with Apple to get $27 back. And it's a net zero gain. But I was like, why did you let me be able to buy this when I already had it? You let me buy a subscription to override what I got for free. Come on, guys.
They let you do it because you might have bought something that you wouldn't use that they can charge you for.
Yeah.
So easy.
it's so easy. That's why they're, you know, at the top of the stock market exchange. And
they're up there. So.
Yeah.
So cool.
So speaking of, you know, we were talking about cutting, you know, I canceled my AT&T and DirecTV. And, you know, the thing that irritates me about companies, they could have maintained my business by keeping my subscription costs low. Because they started off low, and then they eventually doubled over time.
Yep.
And I call them to cancel. They're like, oh, well, we'll retain you. And, you know, and they'll bring the pricing. As far as retention goes, they'll do a retention thing, and your pricing will be cheaper than what you were paying before when you signed up. I'm like, why do I have to threaten to cancel to leave you for you to give me a good deal? Just maintain me as a customer. I would still be your customer right now if you hadn't played these games.
Yep. That's it. But they want to keep the, you know, because if you don't take any action, they get more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, the people from AT&T and DirecTV were very pleasant to deal with as far as the cancellation goes. I mean, they didn't make it painful. Sometimes they did try to retain me, but because they're like, nope. Well, what about as a backup? Like, nope, I just don't need internet. What do you mean you don't need internet? I don't want or need internet, so I'm canceling the internet.
And the internet has been canceled. Oh, everything's gone. There's no internet. Just canceled the internet, Adam. Adam breaks the. It's like Wreck-It Ralph, you know.
Yeah.
Adam cancels the internet.
So, are you still making plans of visiting Belize for a term?
I haven't gotten any further with plans to go down south. I'm going to focus on, I have to figure out exactly what I want to do while I'm in Berlin, because I haven't actually picked a, you know, like an itinerary other than like where my places to stay are. But I did let the yoga studio know where I teach that I'll be taking the fall off, essentially fall into winter. So, but I haven't gotten any further than that yet.
Cool. Well,
although
let me know.
While we were having this conversation, I did just cancel my number share for my Apple Watch. As it happens, today is the last day of the billing cycle.
Oh, perfect.
So this was perfect timing. So I'm going to just, oh, look at that plan. Well, that was fast. My Apple Watch says plan, no SIM.
No SIM. That wow. That is fast.
That real. Was incredibly fast. Holy cow.
Real time cancellation.
RTC, man. Wow. Okay, then. Oh, there you go. So cool. All right. What else we got? What have we not covered yet?
So I have, I do have a slight nifty from something that, that we have covered many times.
Oh, you think it's nifty that Hulk Hogan died too?
No. No.
Oh, wait. That's not your recovery.
That's not my nifty. No, no. The, but yeah, I mean, Hulk Hogan died this week and, you know, Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yes.
He died this week. Of course, Ozzy, but I mean, Malcolm Jamal Warner. I mean, we grew up watching, you grew up watching Cosby Kids, didn't you?
Cos.
Yeah. I mean, he was,
back before he got
Theo.
Speaking of cancellation.
Yeah. Did he get canceled?
Well, Cos did.
Oh yeah, Cosby did. Yeah. But you know, Theo back in the day, you know, he was only 3 years older than me. So he was like, oh, I'm Theo. I mean, I identified with Theo at that point, you know, teenage goofy boy, you know? So,
yep.
So that was sad.
Yep. Yep. That was sad to hear. And it happened when he was in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yep. Yep.
Rest in peace, Malcolm Jamal Warner. Sorry to see you.
Yeah. But so on to Nifty. So we've talked about Google Drive a lot. I mean, we've Google Workspace and the, you know, one of the things that I just want to say that is working really well and better than I think it even ought to work is how well Google Drive now syncs. You know, because I've been using Google Drive since 2008. I mean, that's when I first got it. And you know, the sync, you and I know how sync works. Files are, you know, quote unquote physical, you know, but you got a 300 meg file. It's got to get somewhere to go somewhere else for you to be able to open and use it. And that sync has to happen. And we understand it, but, you know, users are like, well, this stinks. It's just slow. Why is it so slow? I click on the file. I wait on the file. You know, we get it. Well, one of the things that Drive is doing really well now is that manipulation of files and caching, because I'm recording our podcast right now. I'm recording it directly to the cloud. So when we get done 30 minutes from now, I get a notification that our recording is ready and I go to Drive and I open up, Adobe Edition and I open the file, and within 30 seconds, I'm opening the recording and being able to edit it, which is really impressive considering it's, you know, 100% cloud-based at that point, you know, and I'm turning around and manipulating it, adding in, splicing, saving, you know, as an MP3 and exporting it, uploading it into YouTube. And I'm doing that all within pleasant minutes, you know, where before, you know, I had to wait for that file to get downloaded to my computer. And then once it was there, then I could manipulate it at a proper speed. So they're just really doing a good job on that. And the other positive thing that I like is the 100% cloud space as a drive, meaning everything that you do in Drive, you don't actually sync anything locally except when you open it.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can too. You can also choose to keep things local if you want.
Right. Right. You can choose to ad hoc it. But so what's nice about that is I was going through uploading a whole bunch of stuff. I was getting rid of the traditional file server. So I was uploading it to Google Drive. But what I had in my mind was like, okay, I need to upload 100 gig of data. So I got to pay attention to it because I'm going to fill up my hard drive if I'm not careful. Well, it really does an efficient job of uploading and removing all at the same time. So I never ran out of hard drive space, even though I uploaded over a terabyte of data from my 500 gig hard drive that only had 300 gig available. I was able to do that because it kept clearing the space. Yep. So good job, Google, or whoever wrote that algorithm. In Google Drive, I do have, I think, 20 gig of caching turned on. So I have, I do lose 20 gig of space, but I could turn that off and recover that. But on my 500 gig drive with, 240 gig of free space, it's not a problem.
So. Yep. How do you find it performing compared to OneDrive? See, I'm using OneDrive now mostly for my Cloud Sync. I've used Dropbox in the past. I use Google Drive. And I went to OneDrive simply because, I use M365 and, I have that for my personal domains and stuff. And so I get like a terabyte and like 4 terabytes of storage in SharePoint, which is generally enough for all my stuff. But the OneDrive client, I think, is probably the buggiest out of all the cloud versions. It's always slow. Whenever I'm waiting for something, I'm sitting there waiting. And then I notice like, oh, the local computer has just realized there's a file here.
Yeah.
Oh, the local computer has now started to upload that file. Okay. Yes. It has uploaded. And then I go to my other device.
And it's not there yet.
Nope. Not there yet. Oh, now it knows that it's there. Okay. Now it's downloading. But like I'll say, as crappy as Apple is with the cloud, their iCloud sync seems seamless.
Yeah.
Generally, by the time I get to the second device or I remember to look for it, it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to know, what's your experience with the Google Share? How does that compare?
It has been very bulletproof. Like it's there in no time. It's synchronized on the Google Drive in no time. And, you go to Drive and it's just available. Because what you're describing with Microsoft, I've experienced so many times. And I'll have a spreadsheet. I mean, a tiny, tiny spreadsheet that's from Google Drive. And I will download it to where it's in OneDrive locally, and I will run it, and it'll say, opening the web version. Like, no, I don't want to open the web version. I want to open it in Excel, which is installed on my computer. And I open it again, opening the web version. Then I'm like, okay, well then I'm just gonna have to save this file to download so I can actually open it up. And maybe the third or fourth time it'll operate properly. But I have that all the time.
Yeah.
One other feature that is new, but I've never really taken advantage of, is the Google Drive, the My Computer section of Google Drive, where you synchronize your documents and directories. When I tried it years and years ago, it tried to sync those. And I didn't want my computer A and B, I didn't want those documents merging with each other, the downloads, I didn't want those merging.
Yep.
And they really did a good job of adding that PC section. And you can have a unique PC that it will synchronize the documents on one computer and they don't merge into each other. And I do like that.
Okay.
The other thing is, so I have a FTP server at home for catching my scan files. I've got a multifunction printer and it just drops it into my old file server. I need these not to live on a file server anymore. I need to get those into Google Drive. Google now makes it really easy to just sync another folder that you have access to instead of, okay, where G Drive is, wherever that root is, I've got to get those files into there. You don't have to do that anymore.
Yep.
And that's really slick.
Got it.
So, yeah, I've been having some good Google time.
Good Google time. All right. Great. Great Google.
Great Google.
All right. What else we got?
I think that was my list.
Cool. Well, I think we should just wrap it up then. Put a pin in it, stick a fork in it, it's done, et cetera, et cetera. So, dear listener, if you want to leave us some feedback, we love feedback. As one former podcast co-host of mine used to say, feedback for podcast hosts is like crack. Not that I would know. I don't have any direct experience with that, but I do like coffee. If you like coffee, you should check me out on the Friends with Brews podcast. But seriously, you can find me at peternicolaitis.com. That's my personal web domain and also my Blue Sky handle, where I'm on less these days. You know, I'm getting back out of social media again, so not really following too much there. You can find Adam at rrlavenderfarm.com. You can find both of us at blurringthelinespodcast.com. And yeah, I think that's it. I think we did it.
All right. We're going to hit the big red button. Let's stop here. Stop.
To contact either us or our guests, visit blurringthelinespodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, do us a solid and subscribe to our podcast and leave us a 5-star review in iTunes, Google Play Store, or wherever you found us.